Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Number 17 on Through the Word, as God sets out to settle the leadership argument once and for all. We're back in the desert with the Israelites, and God's people have been rebelling against their leaders and against their Lord. Now, we saw in the last chapter that rebellion against leaders is dangerous. It can wreak havoc on a nation or on a church. But how do you know for certain who God's anointed leader is? What if the leaders are bad? Chapter 16 had both true leaders and false. So which ones do you follow? In more recent history, kings and popes alike abused their people and hid behind their so-called divine rights for centuries until finally the people revolted and slowly restored the divine rights that God gave all humans. There is a time to revolt, and there's also a time to submit. But how do you know the difference? And how do you know if your leader is God's appointed leader, whether it be pope, pastor, or president? Back in Numbers, the Israelites have good and God-appointed leaders in Moses and Aaron. But then several others step up. So in Numbers 17, God settles the leadership question. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each of the ancestral tribes. Write the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name, for there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe." So God's plan starts with one leader from each tribe bringing a staff, a symbol of leadership and guidance. Then in verse 4, "Place them in the tent of meeting, in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law, where I meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites." That last phrase gets to the heart of it. God wants to rid himself of this constant grumbling. See, the real problem with the unending questioning of leadership is that it always comes with grumbling, discontent, and ultimately, distrust. Not just of leaders, distrust of God. As an American, I grow a little concerned about the unending grumbling about our national leaders. It never stops, and too often we Christians are the grumbliest. I'm not against political involvement. I thank God for those who strive to protect our freedoms and our lives. But there is a clear line of distinction between political activism and political grumblism. Complaining is not a fruit of the Spirit, and quarreling is not fitting for God's people. God is on the throne, so let's quit the griping. And the same goes for church. If something isn't right, be the change, or just let it be. Just don't be the grumble. Back in Numbers, God has a strategy to end the grumbling without ending the grumblers. Verse 6. So Moses spoke to the Israelites, and their leaders gave him 12 staffs, one for the leader of each of the ancestral tribes, and Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the covenant law. The next day, Moses entered the tent and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the tribe of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. So that settles it. Aaron is God's chosen. Moses brings out the staffs, and God's answer is clear. For us, there are two applications here. First, how do we recognize the true Messiah? How can you be sure that Jesus is the genuine Savior? Now, there are hundreds of reasons I could give, but when Jesus was challenged to offer a sign as proof, he focused on just one, resurrection. Many have claimed to be Savior, but only one rose from the dead. Aaron's staff was a dead branch, but by the power of God, it blossomed new life. Aaron was God's choice as the only high priest. Others would follow, but there was always just one. Why? Because he was a picture of Jesus, the eternal high priest, the one mediator between God and man. Jesus claims to be the one and only way to the Father. Others come along and say, there are lots of ways to God. So how can we know? Resurrection. Only Jesus conquered death. No, I didn't get to see that personally, but I can't tell you how many times I have seen a man or woman dead in their sin like an old branch disconnected from the tree, and in the name of Jesus, restored to life and bearing fruit for God. I'm serious. There is nothing else in the world like it. When a dead life becomes a new creation in the name of Jesus, not a program, not a philosophy, just Jesus. I know he's the one. The second application is how to distinguish a true Christian leader from a false. A teacher, a prophet, a church leader, how do you know? Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them." So it's the fruit. Just like Aaron's staff made good almonds, God's anointed leader will bear good, spirit-filled fruit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. Not the works of the flesh. Most of all, they'll produce new life, dying to the world, alive to Christ. So is it ever okay to rebel against Christian leaders? Yes, when leaders are self-appointed and self-centered, blessing themselves by abusing you, then yes, rebel. In fact, leave. The book of Jude points to this very story, the rebellion of Korah, to warn against false leaders who secretly slipped in among the church. Jude calls them ungodly people who pervert God's grace, shepherds who feed only themselves. If that's your leader, walk out. If you're just not sure, do a word search on false teachers in the New Testament. It has a lot to say. But when a leader is God's appointed leader over your life, then rebellion is serious. Such was the case here in Numbers. Now, the end of the chapter is a little frustrating. In verse 10, the Lord tells Moses to keep Aaron's staff as a reminder to the rebellious, to, now watch the wording, put an end to their grumbling against me, so that they will not die. Grumbling was destroying the people. It still does. Disbelief and unending griping destroys your faith and kills your walk. You don't trust God, so you don't follow his lead. God was determined to stop the grumbling so that they would not die. Now look at the response in verse 12. The Israelites said to Moses, "We will die. We are lost. We are all lost. Anyone who even comes near the tabernacle of the Lord will die. Are we all going to die?" What? Are they even paying attention? What did God just say? "So that they will not die." And the first response is, "We will die." This is the fear of God without trust in God, and it's not healthy. But it's not so different today. Jesus came to rescue us from death. John 3:16, "Whosoever believes in him will not perish." That's the point. But the unbeliever cries out, "Why do Christians condemn everyone to hell?" We don't. John 3:17 says, "Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save it, for the world is already condemned." This is God's heart. Ezekiel 18 states emphatically, "I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. Repent and live." Read number 17 today. Trust God at his word and follow the one who came not that we would die, but that we would have new life.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.